praise and give you the glory, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you open our eyes, that we see, our ears, that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand exactly what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's see where we left off. We're going to start right where we left off from last class. I think we left off. Let me give you a few review notes. We left off last week with our last class, in fact, about we have to make a choice. We have to choose whether we're going to operate in the old covenant or new covenant. So I start giving you some notes to that, and I think I'm going to have to move a little bit faster so we can get to most of the stuff that we got in the book. I'm not sure how far we are in the book, but you know, wherever we get to, it's what the Holy Spirit wants you to know for yourself for this class. And so let me start off by going into, like I said, the culture, the rules and the laws and the new covenant. When we define ourselves as sinners living by the rules, then by definition, we deserve to be judged and punished. You know, we in this class, we say we are basically, because we are in Christ Jesus, we are unpunishable. If we define ourselves as sinners and living by the rules, then by definition, we deserve to be judged and punished. Turn your Bibles. Anybody got an Amplified Bible? I had was looking at something in Amplified. It was in Romans chapter 3, verse 19. And I guess I pulled it up in my little, I don't use this often, so. You have the Amplified? Okay, I got it right here in chapter 3, verse 19. You got it? 19 and 20. You can read along with me. Everybody got the iPhone, so let me read it off of yours, because you look like you can. Yours is a little bit bigger than mine, so. So here in Romans chapter 3, 19, it reads this way. It says, now we know that whatever the law, in parentheses, says, or Moses say, it speak to those who are under the law, so that the excuses of every mouth may be silenced from protesting, and that all the world may be held accountable to God and subject to his judgment. For no person will be justified free of guilt and declared righteous in his sight by trying to do. That means performances, not, you know, trying to do. That means that I'm trying to follow the law. I'm trying to follow all the commandments. And so we can't be justified by that. It say the works of the law. For through the law, we become conscious of sin, and the recognition of sin directs us toward repentance, but provides no remedy for sin. And so it's saying that, thank you, man. It says, you know, through the law, we cannot be justified. So the law could not justify us, even though we tried, you know, he gave us the law to operate in, but we could not follow the law accordingly. Let me go and give you some more notes. And if we choose this old covenant, knowing that Christ has already dealt with the sin issue, which opened the way for us to relate to the Father as sons and daughters, then we are actually saying that Christ's death was pointless and are cutting ourselves off from the only thing that can save us, which is God's grace. You know, in Ephesians 2:8, that's a scripture that we've covered many times. And I say that we are saved by grace through faith. It is not in ourselves, but it is a gift of God. So God, it's through grace that we are saved. It goes on to say, but if we look at how most churches are operating, their environments that they are operating or respond to someone who breaks the rules, all the responses that they do to shepherd the person back into a right relationship with rules. That's a basic thing that we're trying to do. Well, they broke the rules, so we're going to move them from that position. And so we're not going to try, you know, we covered the scriptures in 1 Timothy and Galatians chapter 6, where we who are spiritual, we get them back into right relationship with the Father. That's our job. And so if they don't have anywhere to go, then what's going to happen? They're going to be stuck out there by themselves. Basically, the church, I always say, kick them to the curb. We're the only one kick our, to the curb. We have no way to help them to get back in right relationship with the Father. So therefore, punishment is the tool to restore a person to right relationship with the culture or rules. So the punishment part, the part that removing them from that position, that's the basically punishment. And it's to basically restore them to with right relationship with the culture rules. The problem is that in Christ, we have not in fact been given a relationship with the rules, but a relationship with the Spirit. A relationship heart to heart, a relationship that practices love. In Romans chapter 8, Apostle Paul gave us two laws. He gave us the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and he gave us the law of the Spirit of life in sin and death. So let's go back and look at that scripture again. Word of God says, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing, I always say, and hearing the word of God. Here in Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul began to minister to the Roman church. And he said, there is therefore now, since we're in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I made a statement. I said, we have not been given a relationship with the flesh, but we've been given a relationship with the Spirit. So as being in Christ Jesus, we're no longer walking in our flesh. We're walking in the Spirit. And that's the way we should be operating. We are in a spiritual kingdom. We need to know that. And so as being spiritual kingdom, there's a certain walk that we should walk. And so he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in verse 2, say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So we're free from the law of sin and death. And since we are free, we should walk accordingly. Like I said, the problem with most of the church, most of us that are in Christ Jesus, we are trying to walk by flesh, and we should have a relationship with the Spirit. The Apostle Paul also declares that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free. Set us free. We've been set free. If we're set free from it, then that we should not try to go back to it. That's why at 21st Acts, when we started this section in Galatians 3, he asked them who had bewitched them, to cause them to go back and try to operate in the law again, since they should be operating according to the Spirit. He says that we've been set free from the law of sin and death, the law of relationships with the rules. But that is not the relationship or the reality for most people. Most people have a relationship with the rules. I mean, we talk to individuals in the body of Christ, and they would always tell you, I follow the Ten Commandments. I go by the Ten Commandments, and which is good. It brings us to a knowledge of sin and what sin is, but that we should not be operating according. That's, again, the Old Covenant, that's a law. And we're going to find out, when Jesus talked about, he said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And his commandment was a commandment of love. He talked about love. He didn't give us but one commandment. And that's that we should love our neighbors, love our brothers and sisters as he loved us. And so, and one of the things that we find out, if we love that way, and then, we won't lie on that individual. We won't steal from that individual. If it's my husband or my wife, then I won't commit adultery on my wife. I won't bear false witness against them, because why? I'm operating in love. That love keeps me from doing that. That's why, we who are Christians and we say, we're married, and we say, I treat my wife as my sister, and then I'm not going to do anything that's going to harm her by going out, committing adultery or anything like that. I'm going to treat her as my sister. And so that's the law of love. He said, turn to John. chapter 13. See, we remember all those commandments he commanded us in, like I say, in the old covenant. And so here in the new covenant, if you got your Bible with you, it's in John chapter 13, looking at verse 34. It's in red, so Jesus is speaking here. And what he says here, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And so that's the commandment that he gave us. He gave us a commandment of love. And so that's the new commandment. Most people have a relationship with the rules, and thus their behavior is motivated by the fear of punishment. Since we have that relationship with the rule, we say we get caught in, and that's what one of my statements, are you repentant because you got caught? Are you repentant because you're sincere in, that you broke the rules or broke relationship with the Father? And so, if you're truly repentant, and then you're going to make that turn, your heart is going to be hurt because you have done something against that relationship. It's about breaking relationships. And so, but like I say, in most cases, when a person, have a problem with the rules, they won't break the rules because they fear punishment. It's like in the natural. We won't go out and run a red light because we know if we run a red light, that little camera is going to snap my picture and they're going to send me a ticket. So for that reason, we operate in the realm of the spirit just like we do in the natural, which we should not be doing. God has given us this supernatural grace that we can operate in this kingdom the way he set it up. And we can walk this life, but we can't do it on our own. And he's given us his help. He's given us the Holy Spirit that we can do it with. He's given us his, like again, his supernatural grace. And the Apostle Paul say, "I am what I am." I begin to see that more and more. I am what I am because of the grace of God. God's grace helped him to do what he needed to do. Apostle Paul was, he had a zeal for God, but he had also had a zeal to kill Christians. When he got knocked off that horse, off that donkey over in Acts chapter 8-9 over there. Yeah, when he got knocked off that donkey, he was going out with a letter to go out and catch everybody who was in that way, in the way, which was Christians, and kill them. He was taking them out and just actually killing them. But he had a zeal for God. And so that's why I say we have a, we don't do things because we fear punishment rather than operating in the grace that God has given unto us. The Apostle Paul, again, explains that God's law is good in that it revealed the power of sin in his life. He gave an example of who he was and what was happening to him. So it reveals the power of sin, but it does not do anything for sin. And his need for redemption. That was the purpose of the old covenant, to show that, reveal sin to you. It could not redeem us from that sin. The law itself could not bring about that salvation. That's what I was trying to show you in that scripture we read over in Romans chapter 3, verse 19, that it could not bring salvation. Only through accepting Christ Jesus could we receive salvation. As only by having faith in what he did for us could we receive salvation and be saved. There were certain things that we had to do in order to be saved. We had to believe, and we had to make some confessions also to come into this kingdom. And then once we came into this kingdom, then we became, our whole nature changed over. Just by making it, we think about it, but it was a supernatural functioning that took place in your life once we made that confession. We didn't have anything to do with it. You say all you had to do is do this. Turn to Romans chapter 10, and this is not just for this is for any person that does this. And it doesn't matter what sins they've committed, what they've done in the past before. God is not holding anything against them. In Romans chapter 10, and I'll begin to read. Let's read a while. Let me read a while. See, begin at verse one, verse 10, chapter 10, verse 1. The Apostle Paul came to the Roman church again. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Saved, salvation, soteria. That word salvation is an all-encompassing word. And so he said, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." So what we do, we go about, we try to establish our own righteousness by saying that I'm following the rules, I'm following the law, I'm following all the commandments, but they not have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Yeah, and so they, you know, people, I hear people say, "But he's a good person. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" Jesus told them that there was none good but the Father. And so since he said that, then there must be another way that you can come in. Jesus said there's no other way that you can come to the Father but by and through him. And so that's where you come to the Father. So he was telling us, you know, your goodness, your performances does not get you right in the right standing with God. It's something that you have to do. He goes on to say, he said, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness." Jesus Christ himself, he's the end of the law for righteousness. So once you accept Jesus Christ, then the law, you know, you're trying to be right by your performances. Once you accept him, you took on his righteousness is basically what we did. And because of what he did and not because of what we did, our performances. And so, again, that's why we cannot judge anybody because we didn't do anything to make ourselves righteous. And since we didn't, then we took on Christ Jesus, right? I always say, you know, he took everything, all my coat of sin that I had on me. It was like he took it off of him and I took it off of me and put it on him. And he took on his coat of righteousness that he had on me and he put it on me. So now I walk around with his coat of righteousness. And so I can say, you know, without a doubt, I am, you know, not being perfect, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not because of nothing I did. I could not have done enough to make myself righteous in the right in the sight of God, but with what Christ Jesus did. So verse 4 says, "For Christ is the end of right law for to everyone that believeth." So not just, you know, because we say we're good, but there's something that we have to do, every individual have to do, and that is to believe in Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, "For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." So if you're trying to live by the law, what have we done? We frustrated grace according to Galatians 2:21. We frustrated the grace of God because we're trying to operate under the law. And he said, Christ Jesus, the end of the Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, but the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith, speaketh on this wise, said, "Not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it?" And then he goes on, he said, "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." So the word is in two places, in your mouth and in your heart. And he goes on to say, in the next word, he says that, "But the righteousness of faith, speak it on this wise, say, not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in our mouth and in our heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt," that's any person, you know, thou is any person, "shall confess with thy mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and shall believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, and they say, thou shalt be saved." So, and once you do that, once the individual come in and do that, Then, you know, the same thing that that any person that have, he's eligible for every benefit that the kingdom has to offer. And no matter where he started, no matter where he came from, that all the promises of God is yea and amen to him. No matter whether he committed murder yesterday or 2 seconds ago, he've now come into the kingdom. I mean, there may be some consequences to the sins that he did, but in the kingdom, God is not holding anything against him because of what he did. And so that's what the point I'm trying to get you to see, that, you know, there is no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And so we are walking after Spirit. And so then again, that you can go in and you can look at that scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it tells us that if we be Christ, then are we new creatures. It talks about old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is not your, you know, outward appearance. That's in your spirit man. Your spirit man has now been created in the image of God. And you're walking around with the same image that you was created with from the beginning. That's what God, his whole purpose was to get us back into that position that he created us from the beginning. With our dominion again, like he created us over in Genesis 1:26, where you say, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fowls of the air, over the fish of the sea, and over every creeping thing that creepeth up on the face of the earth. So we should be walking in Christ Jesus. We should be walking around in our dominion. We should have dominion over everything on the face of the earth. And so, and that's what God, that was his whole purpose, to reconcile us back to him like we were, like Adam was when he was in the garden. And he did that through Christ Jesus. And he goes on to say, let me read a little bit further. He said, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever, and that means that anybody, no matter what they've done, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all. And verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's like I said, that's how we get saved. It's not by our performance. It's not by our good deeds. Not by the wonderful things that we've done in our lifetime. We come into this kingdom, into the supernatural kingdom, by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then we become eligible again for all the benefits that the kingdom has to offer. Every promise of God from Genesis to Revelation is yea and amen to them that believe it. Believe it what? Jesus Christ is Lord. Believe God raised him from the dead. Now we can eligible. And so our place is to go in and again, we are just to receive those things. We're not trying to perform to get them or do certain acts to receive them. We're just to receive them. Again, Romans 5:5, the Apostle Paul, he was one of, you know, a good, great teacher, one of my great teachers. And so I like the way he teaches. Romans 5:17. And here he says it again. He said, 5:17, he said, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, law of sin and death, that's death, he died, Adam died because he disobeyed God. He was separated, his spirit was separated from the spirit of God. So that's, his natural man didn't die, his spirit died, separated. And so he goes on to say, for death reigned by one, much more they which receive. So all we have to do, all he's saying here is just receive, just receive. And quit trying to perform for these things. Just receive this. He said there's abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And then he tells us what we can do. He said once you receive it, then you're going to be able to reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So we should be reigning. Everybody, all of us who are in the kingdom, if we're not reigning, then we need to keep growing. We need to keep maturing until we learn how to reign. You know, keep feeding yourself. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Workmen, not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 3:17. And so we should continue to do that until we get to the point that we can operate in this kingdom as mature citizens of the kingdom. One of the analogies I always give, I think about when we in the natural, when we come into this natural world, and an infant comes into this world. You wouldn't think of taking an infant and giving him the keys to your car to tell him to go out there and operate that vehicle, a gun, something dangerous to do. The same thing in the spirit realm. You know, we come in, we get saved, but we're never taught. You know, and it take us at least, I know, 12 years at least to be able to operate in some forms. You have to get basic high school education to be able to be functional in this natural world. And we think we can come out and join the church, learn one or two scriptures, then we can operate in the kingdom. And then when we get to the point, we try to call on God and we're not mature enough to need to know what we need to do, then we say many times what happened, we say the word is not working. Why? Because we don't know how to work it. And since we don't know how to work it, it seems like God, it gets to the point where, he did this. God allowed this to happen, or God did this. And we blame everything, our failures, on God rather than going back and looking at the source, which is that we did not mature in the source. The Apostle Paul gave a perfect example that if you can see this, turn to Galatians chapter 4. If you can really see it, then we understand. We understand why our apostles pushing us so hard to mature in the things of God right now. Here in Galatians chapter 4, looking at verse 1, and the Apostle Paul, this is what he said. He said, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." If you can see that, he's saying that we who are in the kingdom need to mature in the things of God. We need to grow up, is what he's saying. We need to grow up. He said, we can be Lord of all, but as long as we are children, we are no different than a servant, though we own everything. And so since we own everything, we got to mature in the things of God and learn how to do it. Let me give you some more pointers here from my notes. Over in Romans chapter 7 again, Apostle Paul began to talk about him and how he was trying to operate in the law and try to operate in the spirit and what was happening to him. Romans chapter 7. I begin reading at Romans chapter 7, verse 1, because it'll give you some context of how Apostle Paul is ministering. And again, it goes back to the law and the spirit again. And in many instances, if we take these scriptures and we're just reading without saying we're getting some understanding of what we're studying, what he's talking about when he's talking about the law and the spirit. Here in chapter 7, the Apostle Paul says, he said, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over man as long as he liveth." And then verse 2, he said, "For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to a husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband." And so he's giving us a principle here. He's saying that, since we are dead to the law, then we are loose from that law. And now we got a new law. We are in the new covenant now. And so we should be operating according to that covenant. We should be judging each other based on the law, but on the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, "So then if while her husband liveth, she's married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another." So he's comparing the old covenant with the new covenant. He's saying that if you're trying to operate in the old covenant and the new covenant, you're now become an adulteress, basically. You're trying to do two different things. So he's saying, make a choice. You need to make a choice. We should be dead. We are dead to the old covenant, and we are new to the new covenant. We're trying to get some understanding. And so he of how the Apostle Paul is revealing to us about the old covenant and the new covenant. He, verse 4, says, wherefore, my brethren, you have become dead to the law by the body of Christ. You're dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that you should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which was by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Law of sin and death. He explains this. And like I say, if you was taking it, trying to read it outside, you know, you could not probably get an understanding of what he was saying. But now that we're setting the two covenants, you can see it a little bit better. He said, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So again, he's separating the two covenants. Yeah, many places in the epistles, the Apostle Paul went on and tried to explain, you know, about the old covenant and the new covenant. Well, so, you know, we're not teaching heresy here. We're teaching the word of God. We're letting you see that, you know, we have been free from the old law and from the covenant. But there, like I said, there is a way that we who are in the body of Christ should operate. There are certain characters that we should operate in. But, you know, we're going to get a chance to see those as we continue in this study. It says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, he said, I had not known sin, but by the law. So what the law did, it brought us to a reality of what sin is. It let us know what the sin acts were. But it didn't say we could do anything. We actually could not do anything about the sin themselves. Well, Christ Jesus came along and did, and he redeemed us from the curse of the law. So now we could operate in the spirit according to the way Christ Jesus set it up. Let me read a little bit further. It goes on to say, he said, for I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. So if he had not ever put it in a law, then we would not have known about covenants. If we had not put it in the law, we would not have known thou should not kill. If he had not put it in the law, we should not know that you should not bear false witness against thy neighbor. He said, but sin taking occasion by the commandments wrought to me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandments came, sin revived and I died. And the commandments, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. The law of sin and death. And so there he go again. He's trying to explain. He's explaining this to you. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandments came, sin revived. And the commandments which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin taking occasion by the commandments deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandments holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good and made death unto me, God forbid. But sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandments might become exceedingly sinful. And so he goes on, he explains this, the law. He was trying to explain to the Roman church the difference between the commandments and the law and the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And he was telling some things that happened to him. And he goes on to say, he said, and this way, when he got to the end of it, he said, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, at verse 22, he said, after the inward man. So we, you know, he said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's my new creation, my law, my spirit, since I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've now taken on a new nature. And since I've taken on this new nature, that's where, you know, God said, I'm going to put my laws in their hearts. Over in, when we started this over in Jeremiah, he told us that. In Hebrews, he also told us that. He said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. That's his soul. He's saying, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, which many of us, we go back. We get out of the spirit and we go back and think about, again, the old law. We think about when we someone commits an act and we try to bring them back in right relationship with the law rather than operating according to the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which make us unpunishable. He said, he goes on to say, O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And so we are in, as spiritual beings, we should be operating in the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus and not according to the old covenant. Again, that's why we get in trouble. We should be dead to sin. Jesus took care of our sin, both our past sin, present sin, and our future sins based on the word of God. And so we should be dead to sin. So if we're dead to sin, then we should not be allow it to come back to life. Again, the Apostle Paul was teaching over here again in Romans chapter 6. That's before we got to that part. And in Romans chapter 6, again, he was explaining the law and how we should be operating in Christ Jesus. Again, in Romans chapter 6, he says some things. He said that we should be dead to sin. He said, what should we say then? Verse 1, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's why I say, we teaching, many of us in the body of Christ begin to teach grace as a license to sin. Grace is not a license to sin, because God give us his supernatural grace that we can operate not in sin, but in righteousness and in holiness and in sanctification. If we're walking by the Spirit, if we're walking in the flesh, we're still going to do the same things. Why? Because we are Christians, but we become carnal Christians. And as carnal Christians, we still operate like we were sinners. And so therefore we do the same thing. He said, but whom also we have asked, verse 2, he said, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, was baptized into his death. Remember last week we gave you a meditation scripture, Galatians 2:20, where you were crucified with Christ, and y'all know that one. He said, know not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall also walk in the newness of life. That's walking in the Spirit. And that newness of life is walking in the Spirit, not going back in the flesh. He goes on to say, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is free from sin, now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also should live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead died no more. Death has no more dominion over me. For he that is died, he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. So he died for sin once. He's let us know that, so that all my sins has been taken care of. All of my sins, my past, my present, and my future sins. So we are unpunishable. But again, like I say, there are walks that we walk, there are characteristics that a person who are in the kingdom should be operating in. We're going to get to those, like I say, in probably the next couple of lessons. The Apostle Paul calls on us to reckon or consider the evidence and make a judgment. Again, go back to Romans 6 and 11. He said, likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. And so we are actually dead to sin. God's verdict over every believer is that we are dead to sin in Christ Jesus. And since we are dead to sin in Christ Jesus, we have been delivered from our life for protecting a connection with the rules. We have been delivered from a life of protecting ourselves with the connection of rules. Again, Romans 8:1, and like I say, I say it over and over again till we get it. He said, there is now no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus. No punishment. No punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. If I've been made free, then I shall walk in that freedom. In Christ means we are those who walk according to the Spirit, and not according to the flesh. So we should be walking according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Our life of experience, our experience of life without condemnations happens according to the way we walk. Turn to Romans, Galatians again. And these are some of the things I begin to point out. In Galatians chapter 14, again, we talked about the love law and how, walking according to love. Romans 5:14, it said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so again, we should be the law in the new covenant is a love law. And so he said, verse 16, he says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He goes through here and he gives us, you know, those various things that how you operate in the flesh. And then he gets down to verse 22. And, you know, I won't read through the negative aspects. You can read from for yourself. He says in verse Galatians 5:22, and this is how we should be walking. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit, and he gives us, he says, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He said, and against such there is no law. If we operate in accord, there's no law when we operate in love. There's no law when we operate in peace, in long suffering, in kindness. And again, remember what he talked, Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 6:1. He said, now, again, we can go back to that, and I always think about that meekness part. He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, so that means we walking in the Spirit, not according to the flesh. He said, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. He said, considering our own self, lest thou also be tempted. And so in the spirit of meekness, yeah, you know, when someone's committed sin, that, you know, especially if they, you know, believe what they are doing and are very adamant about what they're doing, you know, they many times they're going to say, you know, they're going to think what they was doing was right. But we're still in a spirit of meekness have to restore them to their rightful place. And over in 2 Timothy, let's go over there, 26:26. Second Timothy chapter 2. And I read 24:25. He says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach patience. He said, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. So commit sin acts, we're actually opposing ourselves. And so if you're opposing yourself, what you're doing, you're blocking those things which God has prepared for you. And so the thing is to get yourself back in right standing with the Father immediately. Now, you don't want to wait. You don't want to tarry. Because, you know, in Revelation, they say God give us a space of repentance. And sometimes we can miss that space. But he do give us a space for repentance. So, but actually, we are opposing ourselves. You know, we don't want to walk around opposing myself and hindering myself from getting what God has for me and the blessings that God has for me. So when I get out of, when I go and do these things, even though I'm unpunishable, I'm still opposing myself. And so I need to find a way to bring myself back into God's graces by operating. I'm just like I say, I'm blocking him from doing what he want to do for me. It says in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God prevents you, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So basically, they've been taken captive. So we'll help restore them back into their graces with God, so they can receive those things that God has prepared for them. Our experience of life without condemnation happens according to the way we walk, walking in a relationship of love, walking through faith and grace in a relationship with the Spirit. As we walk in the Spirit, the question must be, always constantly ask, how is my life affecting our relationship? How is what I'm doing affecting our relationship? And so, you know, and even, you know, in the natural, you know, if what I'm doing is affecting the relationship of the person that I love, then I should try to find some way to bridge that relationship. And so it's that keeping the law of Christ means that I manage myself in order to preserve and protect my connection to his heart. See, and so my connection to him, you know, I love him so much that I don't want to do anything to cause him any hurt. It is not about living to protect myself from the punisher when I break the rules. So again, you know, we can look at it two ways. You know, I'm not living this life to protect myself, because I know if I do something wrong, I'm going to be punished for what I'm doing. I walk this life, this spirit life, because of my relationship that I have with him. And I don't want that relationship broken. And since I don't want to, you know, just like my marriage life, I wouldn't do anything to break my relationship with my wife because of the love that I have for her. And so I know that anything that I do that would break that relationship, you know, would hurt, it would hurt her, but it also probably would hurt me worse than it does her, because the relationship, the fellowship has been broken. And, you know, and when you have that type of fellowship, so that's what he's saying. Rather than, you know, you don't do things because of, you know, you fear punishment, you do it because of the connection that you have, the fellowship that you have with that individual. And so we don't break that fellowship by, you know, worrying about if I break the rules, that I'm going to be punished. Many of us believe that when Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, or you will obey me. You know, in John 14:15, that's what he said. He said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandment. We thought it meant that if you love me, you're going to let me control you. He didn't mean that. He did not mean that, you know, if you love me, you're going to let me control you. He said, if you love me, you're going to be concerned about the things that I'm concerned about. You know, the things that, you know, what I say was important to me. And Jesus didn't give us a list of commandments. He only commanded. He said, I give you a new commandment, and that commandment is to love. And so when he said that, that's the only commandment that he gave us. And so we should hear that. He said, if you love me, it is going to show up in how you treat the things that I told you are important to me. And so that's the fruits. That's your fruit. He's the vine, and he's the root. We're the vines, and so whatever fruit we should be bearing should be coming from him. Next week, I go into some of the characters of a person who's operating in holiness and sanctification, and how Jesus felt about we citizens of the kingdom. We go in, and you know, if you want to read, you can read over in Matthew chapter 5 and the Beatitudes and those various things, how he told us how we should operate. That'll be our character, how we should operate in the kingdom. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and give you glory, Lord. We thank you that we've given to your people what you told us to give to them. And we thank you, Father, that we're no longer just hearers, but we become doers of what you tell us to do. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. We didn't get a meditation.